but he hears me. I love you. Glad you're back this evening, those of you who are here this morning and those of you who weren't here this morning. I'm glad you are here for the first time today. Appreciate that very much. What I've been doing on Sunday evenings, probably for the last month or two, as you are aware, is starting out with a bit of review of Sunday morning. So we want to do that again this morning. Remember, of course, what our whole theme for the year is. Our theme for the year is take the next step. All right, we're going to get better. That's okay, though. I don't have to act like a sumo wrestler every time for very long. But that's our theme for the year. So we're shooting for, remember, of course, we've got that graphically illustrated a bit that we worked on, or Chad and I did this week. Over here is the start, over there is the goal, over there is where we start our relationship with God, is where we become a Christian, and we're taking steps toward our goal. Our goal is spiritual maturity. Our goal is saved souls. Our goal is heaven. That's where we're trying to get to, and of course, we understand that takes diligence, that takes leaning on the Lord and on His grace and mercy. We can't get there on our own, but that's where we're heading toward, all right? Everything that we're doing, we're heading that direction. We're trying our very best to. Sometimes we fail, sometimes we slip up, and that, of course, happens even to the best of Christians. However, that is still where we're going. It's a journey, remember? We're on this journey toward our goal, a beginning, a middle, and an end, we said last week. That lesson, of course, was foundational for the rest of the year. It wasn't, as I said this morning, one of those highly inspirational, moving lessons. However, we had to have that in order to get to what we said this morning, that we take a step, we move slowly in that direction. And whenever we're on this journey, we realize that some of the things that hinder us most in our relationship and in our direction that we're going toward our goal is our attitudes, don't you think? We can get frustrated, we can get discouraged. Galatians 6 verses 9 and 10 says, "Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not faint." Can't we get discouraged? Can we get frustrated? Can we get angry at one another? Sometimes our attitudes are the biggest holdup. And sometimes the biggest attitude problem we have is impatience. We are very impatient so often. I'm impatient with you sometimes as members here. Maybe you're frustrated and impatient with me as the preacher here. Maybe we're frustrated with our elders. Maybe we're frustrated with our deacons. Maybe our deacons and elders are frustrated with you, the member. We're frustrated with our wives or our husbands. We're frustrated with our kids. We're frustrated with Aunt Susie who lives down the street. We get frustrated with people. We get impatient with people. We want the things that we want, and we want it now, right? I want to get to that goal. I want to get to spiritual maturity. I want to get to blessings. I want to get to reward. I want to get those souls saved, and I want it now. So often what we try to do is we try to get a soul from start to goal, to start to finish. We try to bring them to Jesus from being a skeptic, from being an unbeliever, from being someone who has little relationship with God, little knowledge about religion or faith or Christianity, and we try to get them to the goal in one conversation. Well, that's almost unheard of. We don't do that, you see. We get them from 0 to perhaps 5%, from 0 to perhaps 6 or 7%. We get them sometimes from 5 or 6 or 7%, over there to 10 or 15 or 20%. Sometimes we get them from 20%, as I said this morning, from 20% to 20%, you see? We stay in the same place, right? But we're still heading in that direction. We're moving that direction, you see? But we want it, and we want it now. We are impatient, and we looked at several examples of that in the Bible and in our own lives this morning, but we see that it's very important that we realize that God is supremely patient. Whereas we're impatient with ourselves, we're impatient with others, we're impatient with God, God is patient. He gives us chance after chance after chance. That is really what the Old Testament is. It's a record of all of the chances God has given the Old Testament Israel, the patriarchs, the prophets, all of these things over and over again. We see repeatedly that God gives them chance after chance. He's so patient. He gives us all of these opportunities, and He tells us to be patient with others as well. I believe that a Christian finds contentment in taking one step at a time, right? And what I did this morning, if you were here, remember what I did was challenge you to take one step in that direction, right? Maybe you struggle with 100 different things. Maybe you struggle with gossip. Maybe you struggle with slander. Maybe you struggle with a covenant with your eyes. Maybe you struggle with church attendance. Maybe you struggle with service. Maybe you struggle with all of those things and a million other things. But what I'm suggesting to you is to take one step. One step, all right? Take 15 minutes every day and read the Bible. Take a few of those business cards, invitations, and give them to 5 people this week at a restaurant, in a park, your neighbors, whoever it may be. Just do a little, right? And if we do a little every week, and if we apply those things and make habits of those things, of reading the Bible, of studying, of attending, of participating, of serving in one way or another, then those things will become habits, and then we do a bit more, you see? That's the way it is when you work out, right? You learn to lift just a little bit. You learn to lift this weight, and then you add a bit more weight to it. And then you add a bit more weight to it. Same with running, right? You run this distance, or you run this speed, and then you try to increase that speed. You try to do this in increments. That's what I'm suggesting to you, right? One little bit at a time. But here's where we're starting this evening, all right? Even that one baby step can be frustrating, can't it? Daniel, you say to invite 5 people to church this week. That don't feel like a baby step to me. That feels like a monumental step. That feels like a huge thing. And I'm not suggesting, by the way, that you do 5 personal invites, that you plead with 5 people. I'm suggesting doing something simple, just handing someone the card, leaving the card at your table whenever you're leaving the tip, whenever you leave somewhere, anything like that. Pray for people. Spend 15 minutes was the challenge, perhaps, going through the bulletin and praying for everyone in there by name and thinking about them and praying with them and meditating on the precepts of God. But sometimes that one baby step can be frustrating. We get to the end of the day and we realize, oh man, I didn't do that thing that I was supposed to do. I'm so irritated with myself. We may be overwhelmed even at this point. Failure may continue. Sometimes it just won't stick. The habit we want to form, the precept we want to learn, the sin we want to overcome, we just can't overcome these things. It just won't stick with us. Sometimes one step can be a battle in and of itself. You see me. You've known me for 5 years. You know I'm not a marathoner. You know I'm not a runner. You know I don't do all those things, but I've heard before that sometimes whenever you're running, that moving just one step can feel like torture, and doing the next thing can feel like you're stepping on pins and needles, like your legs weigh 1,000 pounds each at some point. It can feel like you can barely, and I have done this before in some of my exercise and some of my experiences, perhaps it's because I'm so out of shape sometimes, but it can feel like you can barely get air enough just to survive. You expect to take one more step? I can't even breathe here, you see? Sometimes just that one step can be overwhelming, you see? When we feel like this, how can we stay in the race? How can we continue taking that one more little baby step, even when that baby step feels so torturous and feels so difficult? Well, let me suggest that we turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I told you we were going to spend a bit of time with that this evening, and that's what our plan is to do. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in around verse 1. Not around verse 1. I don't know why I say. You know, when you preach and you teach and you do things, sometimes you get in little habits. We're not beginning in around verse 1. We're beginning in verse 1. All right? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter, the author of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. I preach most of the time, but sometimes I don't preach and I get to listen to preaching. And when I don't preach, or even when we're experiencing other things like the Bible reading and the scripture reading, I've been known sometimes, and this is to my shame, I've been known sometimes to not listen very well. Did you listen to what Hebrews 12 said there? Run with endurance the race that is set before us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and now we see it at the right hand of God. He endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. We grow weary, we grow faint-hearted, but he did those things so that we don't have to. So that one step doesn't have to be torturous. That one bit of progress forward to the goal. Do you see this, church? This is the start over here. This is the goal, and this is the way we're heading. Sometimes we take a circuitous, is that a word? We take a circuitous route. We go this way and that way, and we go around this valley and this mountain, and we go around this river, and we go up this hill and down this hill. Sometimes we spend 40 years in the wilderness wandering before we get to the goal, to the promised land, but you know what? Eventually we get there if we keep putting one foot in front of the other. You see? And that's what I'm encouraging you to do this evening. How do we do that? Consider three things. And this lesson, probably for some of you, you've heard things like this several times in the past, but this fits perfectly in this category of what we're talking about here. When you're discouraged, when you're frustrated, even with that small baby step, what do we do? First, consider the cloud of witnesses. These are witnesses that he listed in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. You see Hebrews chapter 11 there. It says in verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. There we see the first hero of faith, the first witness. If you want to stay on this path, if you want to head toward the goal, if you want to put one foot in front of the other, then you consider the people who have done it before. Consider the cloud of witnesses. They were patient. They endured. You see? Think about the people in your life who have endured. Think about the struggles that we go through, the struggles that people who you love have gone through. And not only those people, but he says, consider especially these heroes of faith: Enoch, Noah, Abram, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. There are others that are mentioned here because of their deeds. We see those individuals who stopped the mouths of lions. Who's that? Daniel. Daniel, a great name. Daniel, he stopped the mouths of lions, right? And then you see someone was sawn in two. Some individuals suggest that was Jeremiah. Some stopped fire. Who do you think that might have been? Perhaps Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in the Hebrew, right? Somebody said in a sermon before I became a preacher that if we say Daniel, then we need to say the Hebrew versions of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. So I memorized it, and you know, I just can't forget it. You know, that's how I impress people sometimes. Those kids over at Houston Christian, you know, I give them useless facts, and boy, they think I'm great. They're pretty close to right, but you know, we see that's what I do. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But here's the point. Not, you know, that I can impress some people with some knowledge that you can do the same thing, I know as well. But that these individuals did amazing things, all right? Now, here's the question that I ask. Were these people like us or were they different? Were these individuals endowed from the womb, from birth, with special ability, with special resistance to sin and temptation? Or were these people just like us? I suggest to you that they're just like us. We said this morning that Abraham, he messed up so many times on his journey. He was impatient with God and himself, and he messed up. He lied about Sarah being his wife. He stopped on his journey. He went a little bit, and then he stopped there in Haran, and then he stayed there for a while, and then he started his journey again. We mentioned the Israelites through the wilderness. So they went this way and that way and every which way. They're individuals who are just like us. All these individuals were. You don't believe me? Well, what about Elijah? Elijah. Elijah, man, you look at some of the things that he did. He was amazing, wasn't he? Oh, man, impressive, some of the things that he did. But it says in James 5:17 that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like us. If you read about Elijah, sometimes he was a bit depressed. He was down in the dumps. He thought that he was the only one who was serving the Lord. So my point, whenever we think about these cloud of witnesses, when we're heading toward our goal and we're trying to take that baby step, the one step in that one direction that we're going toward our goal, is that we are just like these individuals. We're just like the individuals in this cloud of witnesses, like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and others. Just like them. The power that they had did not come from any special, well, with the exception, I guess, Samson. For the most part, their power didn't come from anything special beyond the same thing that we can have, which is faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. Their power and their strength to take the next step was simply faith. Trust. You know what faith is, church? It's not just a, you know, intellectual assent or belief. Oh, well, I guess I believe that the sun is 8 seconds away from us. That light takes 8 seconds to get from the sun to the earth. Well, you believe that, but do you believe it? Do you trust it? Do you base your whole life on that? That's what faith is, church. When you have faith in God, faith in Christ Jesus, faith in the Spirit, faith in the Word of God, faith in the things that He said and He's promised, that is something you base your whole life on. That's what faith is. And that gives you power to take the next step, doesn't it? If I realize that what God has said is accurate, if I realize that what God has said will come to pass, and we're going to talk about that here in a moment, then I can realize that I can do the same thing. We see that these cloud of witnesses were patient, they endured, but also that God rewarded them. Moses and Elijah appeared in the Transfiguration. Abraham is pictured as a spokesperson in heaven. If you look at the parable or the story, whichever you prefer to say it is, I'm not taking any sides on that, the rich man and Lazarus. If you look there, Abraham is speaking to the rich man from across this gulf. You know what heaven or paradise or the positive place in Hades for Christians is? Whatever you prefer to say there, I'm not talking about the afterlife. But do you know what the positive place after this life is called? Abraham's bosom. Why? Because Abraham is there. And Abraham is the father of these nations and the promise, you see. So Abraham has received part of his reward. I suggest to you that Elijah has and Moses has. They appeared in the Transfiguration, you see. If we continue taking this one step at a time, just one, all right? I'm not suggesting, and I feel like it sometimes that I am suggesting, and maybe you feel like this that I'm suggesting it too, but I'm not suggesting that you have to be perfect by the end of this lesson, by the end of this week, by the end of this month, by the end of this year, but I am suggesting that a Christian always takes one step that direction. Always. This is what a Christian does. It's not what you must do. It's not what you have to do. This is what a true Christian does. Are you a true Christian is the question, you see? Are you someone who's put your faith in God that's willing to blindly sometimes, without knowing what's there, to just trust that there is something in front of you, right? You've seen, of course, you know, Indiana Jones, and you know he's taking a step forward, and he does this, and you know he lands, right? Why? Because he trusts, he has faith. But our faith is more tangible than that. His is just hope. His is just thought, is just a wish, a desire. But ours is trust in the evidence. And that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. That's what we can see there. If we continue taking the one step at a time, we can receive the same reward. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The example of these witnesses, this cloud of witnesses, right? A cloud is something that, you know, it can engulf you, right? I've never flown an airplane, I have ridden in a few, going back and forth from Kentucky and from Kentucky. I was going to say in all the other millions of places I've been, but I've not been to a lot of places. That's okay. But here's what happens when you fly an airplane through those clouds. The clouds do what? They surround you, right? And we, if we'll allow these individuals to do so, are surrounded by these individuals, these people on the heroes of faith, this hall of faith, you see? And this proves God's reliability. Here's what I wrote in my notes. The fact that everything worked out for them, all of them, demonstrates that God will take care of you. These men and women went through difficult times. God used them, God blessed them, God was glorified by them. If you want to do that, then you can as well. But you can only do that when you take the next, right? You can't do it unless you take the next step, unless you move forward. Staying still, moving backward, laying down, getting off the journey, the trip, the trek, the road, that's not faith. That's not trusting God. That's lack of trust. I don't believe God. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, it says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, because the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So the first thing we do is to consider the cloud of witnesses. Then I'm looking at the man in the mirror. We consider ourselves. That was not in my notes. I just thought I'd do that for you, you know? You like that? Shamo. That's what he did, right? Anyway. So we consider ourselves. We look at the man or woman, as the case may be for you. We consider who we're looking back at in the mirror. And what do? We prepare. If we want to challenge ourselves, if we want to press forward, we can help ourselves to overcome. I don't have it. I put it in my office before I came out here, but because I don't like my pockets to be cluttered with stuff whenever I'm preaching in Kentucky. Whenever I would preach, I had to make sure my phone was out of my pocket or on airplane mode or something, because it would interrupt the signal with the mic, and I had to, man, I can't do that, you know. So I put it over here, or, you know, turn it off or something like that. But anyway, the phone that I don't have in my pocket, that many of you do have in your pockets, and some of you may have looked at already during this lesson, that's okay. The phone that we carry can help us to remind us to do something for God, can't it? You know, thank you, Steve Jobs. It was about how many years ago now? I don't know. It was a couple days ago I got a note that this was the day that Steve Jobs announced he was going to change the world with the new iPhone. He did, didn't he? Because, you know, we carry smartphones now. You might be a Droid person. That's okay, you know. I'm not trying to suggest that you have to do Apple or Android, but it started with the iPhone. And that iPhone that you carry, wait a second, Tim, I'm getting to a point. That iPhone that you carry has on there a thing, and I think the Droid has something similar, you know. It's called Siri. And I've been using it a lot here recently. Somebody told me something that I needed to do on Wednesday. I needed to teach a class. And I was like, okay, you know, how am I going to remember this? You know, I don't tie a finger, you know, a string around my finger. You know, I don't even use the calendar on my office wall. I said, Siri? And she said, yes, Daniel. She didn't, but that's what she should have said in a melodious voice. I said, hey, Siri, remind me about teaching this class on Wednesday. And she said, okay, here's the reminder. Anything else? She's so willing to serve. I appreciate that, you know. And I can set me an alarm, you know. I set me an alarm on Sunday morning because I get up and I go over my lesson for Sunday morning. I set myself an alarm for two alarms, you know, one in case the other one don't go off. But I set an alarm for about 4:15 and get up. Yeah, that's early. I can get up before 6 or 7 or 8. There was a man who was preaching who he said every time he got called, Every time he got called, someone would say, "Hey, I hope I didn't get you out of bed or wake you up. Hope you're awake or up out of bed." And he'd jump up out of bed before you know he could say anything. He says, "I'm up." You know, they did wake him up, but he arranged it in a way because, you know, I sleep sometimes, and if you call a certain time, you might wake me up, and you know, I might seem groggy, but I'll pretend, you know, that, oh yeah, I can understand everything, but you'll probably have to call me again to remind me because I don't get things sometimes that night. Yeah, I get up and your baby's crying or something like that. I'm like, what do you do? I went to check on Solomon a few times, and Rua does this, you know, I've done this every night. I don't know how she did it, you know, but she's like, I don't feel good. Can you do it? Like one night out of the 15 months that he's been alive on this planet, one night she's like, can you do it? I just have such a headache. I don't feel very good. She don't get sick very often, but she did that one night. And I got up and I went in there. And I'm like, where's that pacifier? I think somebody gave us some glow in the dark ones and I still couldn't, you know, find it. But, you know, I went in there and then I turned the light on and she jumped up out of bed and said, don't turn the light on. And my point in all of this is that, you know, the iPhone or your smartphone can help you. I set an alarm. That's where I was going with all this. Your smartphone can help you to remember certain things, that there are tools available to you. So you prepare yourself, all right? You prepare yourself so, to challenge yourself, to press forward, to remind you to do these things that you ought to do. And some things are essential, right? It's essential, if we read the text here, to lay aside every weight. Isn't that what it say here? Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. If we really want to take the next step, we've got to clear out our schedule of some things. You've got to, you know, stop playing Clash of Clans for a few minutes. You've got to stop watching the television for a few minutes. You've got to stop reading your romance novels. Whatever it is that you're doing, you've got to stop that for just a few minutes in order to make time to do these other things, right? You've got to lay aside time wasters. You've got to lay aside some social media sometimes, some television, some literature. You've got to lay aside certain material things. Some things require payments after payments, and they say, hey, charge it. You know, make me pay $100 a month or $50 a month or whatever else it is. Sometimes in order to sacrifice other things for Jesus, you've got to stop doing some of those things. You've got to get rid of some material things that can distract you. You've got to get rid of impurities, television or music, perhaps with foul language in it, with jesting, whatever it may be. I'm not suggesting what it is that you've got to get rid of. I'm just saying that sometimes there are some things that you have to get rid of in order to make room for the time and the effort and the energy and the finances and all the things that you have in order to take that next step, all right? Whatever it is your next step is, sometimes you've got to clear something away in order to take that next step, and that's what I'm saying here, and I think that's what the Hebrew writer is saying as well. We've got to lay aside sin. The idea the writer is suggesting is the sin that trips you up most often. You know what it is. I'm going to be frank before you. I'm going to be Daniel and Frank. I'm feeling funny tonight, aren't I? Anyway, I'm going to be honest with you that some of the things that I struggle with, sometimes it's procrastination. I'm pretty bad at that. I'm trying to get better. That's one of the steps that I'm taking. I play Clash of Clans, as you might have already guessed sometimes. I've not been playing as much recently because I've been trying to clear certain things out. But what you do in that game, if you care, is you upgrade troops or you upgrade buildings or whatever else. You upgrade certain things. So, I had Rua playing for a little while, but then she didn't have time because, you know, we got kids and stuff, you know. But we say between the two of us, that, this is what we're going to upgrade this year. She says, I'm going to upgrade, gossiping Rua. I'm going to. See? I was like, how much elixir is that? or gold? That would be a Clash of Clans joke. You'd laugh if you played. Anyway, I'm going to upgrade this. One of the things I'm upgrading is my procrastination, all right? Sometimes I procrastinate. Sometimes I don't think the right thoughts, you see? I've got to lay those things aside. Do what it takes to get rid of the sin that entangles you. Romans 6 and verse 12 says, let not sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. These things that you struggle with, they make you obey its passions, don't it? I know I'm using some illustrations that you might not get very well, but here's the point. Some of these things you've got to lay aside, you've got to save up in order to upgrade, in order to change, in order to make the difference, you see, in order to take the next step. We've got to just run. Consider ourselves, just run. What did Jenny say to Forrest? Run, Forrest, run, right? And Forrest said, whenever he started running, I just felt like running, right? I just felt like running. Sometimes we just got to run. The fact of the matter is, church, that it is a discipline. If we want to get to the goal, sometimes we've got to just, even though we don't feel like it, even though I don't feel very good, even though it's struggle, even though things aren't working out for us, sometimes we got to say, well, you know, I'm just going to take this next step. Boy, it looks funny. Everybody's sitting in the back standing up here. I'm just going to take this next step. I'm just going to move that direction because it's a discipline. You know how some of these sports stars get good at their job, get good at sports? They practice it. So Chad was showing me today a video of Steph Curry. He's on the Warriors, right? See, I know all about it, people. He's on the Warriors, and he made this shot, a three-point shot, because he was wide open, and he made it, and then he looked away and stared down the people on the bench of the Kings bench because he said, you leave me open, this is what I'm going to do. He didn't even wait to watch the basketball go through the hoop, the net, get the score. He didn't even watch it, right, to get the basket. He didn't even watch it because he knew it was going to be there. Why? Because he's practiced so many times. He's done this so many times, like that, okay? He's done this so many times that he can get it in there without even thinking, you see? That's what he does, isn't it? He's done that so many times that he can do it without even looking. So he does this, and then he walks away, and don't even watch it go in the basket, you see? Here's my point, okay? You laugh if you want, because I'll just school you if you want me to, and like that. Anyway, he got good because he practiced it I guess you guys bend your knees a little bit, okay? That's it. Like that, right? Okay. He practiced it so many times that he got it. The discipline, you see? He worked at it that many times. He worked at it. He did it over and over and over and over again till it just worked. Till he could do it without even thinking about it. That's what we've got to do. We just do it. We discipline ourselves. Paul said, well, I do what? Buffet my body daily. Are we doing that? That's what you got to do. Number three, and you know, we don't have time to go in any more detail. Is consider Jesus. You want to move on. You want to head to that goal, and it's hard to make the one step sometimes. It's hard to make that one step. Consider that cloud of witnesses. Consider yourself. And consider Jesus. What did he do? He was in heaven. And he left it. He was born literally in a barn. He entered public ministry. If he wasn't already poor, he became poor. He didn't even have a home. He taught the truth, which made him enemies. He paid our debt. He didn't deserve it. He was sinless, and he continues to serve us in heaven. Here's what Jesus said. I always do the things that are pleasing to him, the Father. Consider Jesus. Consider why he did it. He did it for the salvation of all believers. This is a list from someone else. He did it because the day when he would be in heaven with the redeemed of the ages. He did it because he would be in heaven again. He did it because he would reclaim the glory he had shared with the Father from eternity past. He went to the cross and did all these things so there would be new heavens and a new earth where all the redeemed would be worshiping the Father. He did it so there would be a day of salvation, that it would ultimately be completed, sin forever destroyed, Satan forever banished, and perfect righteousness would rule in every heart. He did it for you and for me. If God did all that for you and me, sent his Son, Jesus came to the cross, and he lived that way, and he died the way that he did. He did all of these amazing things for us. He did this public ministry, and now he's in heaven interceding on our behalf. Isn't it worth our time to put forth a little effort to take the next? Isn't it? To try? I'm not asking you to move mountains. I'm not asking you to do everything. I'm asking you to do one thing. One thing. And then build on that. And then, church, individuals here, group, friends, all of us, you're going to get some momentum. And you're going to feel good about it. And you're going to see that it's possible. What did Jesus get for what he did? We're considering Jesus here. What did he get? Listen to Hebrews 10, 12 to 13. Christ, when he offered for all time that single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemy should be made a footstool for his feet because of his obedience. It says in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, that although he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. He obeyed, and for his obedience, for the very fact that he took that next step and he moved forward in his ministry and in his service to you and me, he is in heaven with God right now. I want to be there. Don't you? I want to be there. If you do, if you really want to be there, if I really want to be there, I've got to take the next step. I got to keep moving that direction. Bow and pray with me. Father God, we've had fun this evening thinking about your will and your word for us, but we also realize that this is something so serious. So many of us struggle taking that next step and moving forward and just changing our lives even a little. We struggle with just that little bit. And Father, we pray that we can consider the cloud of witnesses, how they did it, how we can do it too. That we'll consider ourselves and what we can do in order to help ourselves to get there, that we can just discipline ourselves, that we can prepare ourselves and we can just do it and make the effort, Father. We pray that you will use your spirit and the strength of will that you've given us through your spirit to just take that next step. And then we consider Jesus. And that's going to help us more than anything, realizing that he did some amazing things and he did it for us. And he got something so special that we can barely even understand the heaven that waits for us. Father, we pray that the souls here this evening have been influenced by your word and that we'll be willing to take that next step to this week and this year. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We didn't talk about the plan of salvation, but I hope that you realize that God does want you to be saved. And God does want you to do what's right. And if you're not on that journey toward the goal, and if you don't know how to get on that journey to the goal, we'll be happy to help you learn about obedience to the gospel, what the gospel is, how to be saved. The same question that they were asked, we'll help you understand that. Or if you want to get back on the journey, we'll help you with that too. Maybe you want to do that in a public way. Maybe you want to do it some other time in a private way. Whatever it is, let us know. Maybe now, as together we stand and as we sing. What can